Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better.
Even marketing.
This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got another great repeat guest. Her name is Kathleen Gage, and she is one of my favorite speakers. She is just a ball of energy, a ball of fire. And if you want to learn more about her, you have to go all the way back to episode 35 of the Bacon Podcast. And we're on episode number 287. So, Kathleen, it's been a while that we've had you on. We've talked since. We've actually been at conferences since. But how are you doing?
We have. You know, with a spread of 252, I'm good at math. There you go.
Wow.
podcast. Yeah. It's been 252 you've done since we last talked. But I have been doing great. Life is good. I have no complaints whatsoever.
That's awesome. And you're still running. You're still doing 5Ks and all that kind of stuff. And I am. Yeah. And you're just an inspiration because you just, man, age does not play a part in your life. You just keep going and going and going, which is awesome.
You know, I got to wonder if I'm the crazy old lady now, because now I'm getting into that. Pretty soon I'll be able to qualify for all my benefits as a senior citizen. And even to hear myself say that is crazy. But I did my first marathon at 61, and just a couple of days ago signed up for another half marathon. I saw it come through, and it was on my dad's birthday. He passed away a few years ago. And I thought, you know, this is a great way to honor my dad. So I'm doing a half marathon for my dad's birthday.
See, that's fantastic. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the energy you've got and all those kind of things. But now it seems like your major focus from all the things that I'm seeing is about books. So what has got you so excited about writing books right now?
You know, that is such a great question, Brian. And really what it is I think now more than ever, we're at a really critical time in our world, and words can have the power to change lives and change minds and really influence people into a better way of living. And so I through the years, I've had my business almost 25 years, and through the years, you know, I tried a little of this, a little of that, and it was always around marketing, and it was always around getting on the platform and speaking. But I've gotten really narrow in my focus, and I'm going very deep into how can I best serve my market in a way that they can get their message out to market. And I found that books are absolutely one of the best ways. And with that, it leads into many other opportunities for my clients, like getting on the platform, doing interviews, doing podcast shows. So really the book message is the beginning of, if you will, a conversion funnel for the clients, for them to really take their message out in many different ways to market. But I found that in some ways in the past, I was spreading myself too thin. I was an expert at this, and I truly was, you know, and am. But I have found that having been in business as long as I am, when I first came on board with online marketing, with book marketing, I was one of a very few. Now I'm one among many. And so more than ever, people have to really have that distinction of what makes them unique to the potential clients that may hire them.
Yeah, that is so super, super important. And as a matter of fact, in my last book, The Bacon System, the first thing that I try to get people to get their arms around is, you know, who's your avatar? And we all know those change. And an avatar is your perfect customer. I mean, over the course of time, they evolve as you evolve, and the needs of those people evolve, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a really important message to get out to people, is that you can't be so stuck in holding on to how things were, because constantly it's going to change. And so you have to be willing to change when it's appropriate. I think the key here is the when it's appropriate, because some people, they get bored with their own stuff before the market does. And so it's really being clear on why are you making a change? Is it appropriate at this point in time? And what is the cost going to be for you to make that change? Not just in money, but in time, energy, and focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and doing those kind of shifts do take, you know, a lot of stuff. And again, going back to the coaching, I still believe, and this is one of my favorite sayings, every doctor needs a doctor, Every mentor needs a mentor. Every coach needs a coach. I know you believe in that. And that it's getting somebody outside of yourself to really help you kind of focus and really get deep inside what's happening inside of your business, what's working, what's not working, and that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. And I also know that as we graduate in our businesses, that sometimes we need somebody for just one particular thing. For example, just recently, one of our water pump went out. Well, I had to call a specialist for water pumps, not, you know, just a general plumber. It's like we knew exactly what the problem was. We wanted somebody to come in, fix the problem, do it as quickly as possible. And we were willing to pay the price to get the expert to come in. And it's the same with your business. It's like you have to be willing to invest in coaches, mentors, consultants if you expect people to invest in you. I was at a conference recently where this woman was complaining about business being slow. And I said, well, let me ask you. She goes, nobody will invest in me. And I said, well, how much have you invested in your own development? She goes, oh, I'll do that after I get clients. It's like, no, it's the other way around. You
right.
must be willing to invest first to have the credibility and to really be in alignment with asking for the fees that you're asking for. So, you know, it's really looking at what have you done to grow your business? What are you investing in? If you're asking people for money, are you willing to invest money? So it's really looking at all the different elements.
See, and that is such a huge point. And this takes us back to even writing a book is, you know, you want to work with somebody who has been there, done that. And one of the things that I tell my clients is, you know, when I'm working on, you know, the kind of things that I teach my clients, how to do content creation, how to market it, how to get it out there, how to get people to interact and engage. The bottom line is I do that with myself all the time. We talked about this up front. You know, this 287 podcasts, that's a commitment. Blogs, I've been blogging for 6 years. I've written 4 books. I mean, I've done all this stuff. And I've also hired a lot of coaches, like you said, very specific. Speaking coach, sales coach, systems coach. I mean, just very specific things that have really helped me focus and create the parts of my business that are so incredibly important. And so I love that point, because if you can't do it yourself, if you haven't invested in yourself, what makes you think that other people are going to invest in you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, with what you said about really being specific about the kind of coaches you hire, about a year ago, I wanted to learn some very specific information about Instagram. And so, of course, I bought a few programs and went through the programs, and I got some value from it, because I'm a believer that if you're going to buy a program, use the darn thing instead of just making it, you know, shelfware. And then I knew that, okay, if I really want to, you know, turn that one little screw just a degree and the exact degree I need to, I have to go to an expert who can just dig in, look at what I'm doing, and give me the answer. And so I sought out somebody who has a huge following on Instagram, who I know does coaching, and I said, what will it take for me to hire you for a few hours? I know exactly what I want. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And so we came to an agreement. I paid the money, got the coaching, and I got a lot of value out of it. So it, you know, it's really looking at, again, where do you need specific help, and then finding the right person. And like you said, somebody with a track record, because somebody who's done 1 or 2 podcasts and calls themselves an expert is very different than somebody like yourself who's done hundreds of shows, where in the time you've done hundreds of shows, you've learned a lot, you've probably made some mistakes, you've corrected those mistakes, and now you have a formula. So, you know, I think people need to really look at what's the return on investment that they're making, and are they finding the true expert to help them?
Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with writing a book.
Absolutely.
It has so many different parts to it. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a publisher will handle a lot of those things. Now, I was in the music industry for years. I understand the record business. Okay. Band signs first contract. They go in the studio and they record and they make hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now they buy their sales sports cars and all this other stuff. And what they don't realize is They have to pay for the marketing. So the money that comes in, part of that is used for marketing. Part of it is used for album cover design. Part of it's for the recording studio, for the editing, for the promotions, all of those kind of things. And it's the same thing with books. If you have a publisher, they'll handle that, but you're going to get paid less. Got friends who've made $1 a book, where if you self-publish, you can make a lot more, but probably are going to sell a lot less because they don't have the, you don't have the pull to get it into the bookstores as well as those others. It doesn't say you can't, but you know, that's one of the things that I learned by writing a book is the first one cost me a good chunk of change. I had to hire an editor. And then she wasn't a good proofreader, so then I had to hire a proofreader. And then I had to hire an indexer because I wanted an index in the book because there was a lot of technical stuff. I had to hire a designer to design the inside of the book. I had to hire a cover designer and all of those kind of things. And then, like you, I bought a lot of programs learning about marketing books. I mean, it was an endeavor at that time. But I think that it doesn't have to be that hard right up front. Is that right?
You know, it doesn't. And I think oftentimes people complicate the process. But, you know, when we first start out, we don't know what we don't know. And oftentimes we're trying to do everything to save a dollar. And in reality, sometimes trying to save a dollar can cost us 10. But, you know, what you said about that, you know, the different editors you had, again, that goes into specialty. You know, you've got your general editor, you've got your copy editor, you've got your proof editor, the different types of books to write. Like I'm working on my memoir right now. What a different set of circumstances and details compared to writing a business book.
Right.
One is, I actually blogged about this, if your palms aren't sweaty while you're writing a memoir, you're not going deep enough. You're not being transparent enough. And I got to tell you, I had to have a box of Kleenex on my desk to wipe my hands because it was like, oh my Lord, what am I going to reveal? And, you know, and it's so interesting because it is a big reveal. And it's, and I already know going into this that there will be people that are going to be shocked. I will tell you, there's some very shocking information in there. And that's kind of the carrot I'm holding in front of people of them saying, what's so shocking? It's like, well, buy the book and you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, it's different than writing a business book because business books, you know, I've written several. I've been a co-author in many. I've been in anthology books. And myself, when I coach clients, I don't work with fiction authors because that's not my sweet spot.
Right.
Up to this point, it has been business writers and spiritual writers. And once I get the memoir issue under my belt and we really come up with a strategy, then I'll be able to work with people who have written memoirs. But the plan that we have with that, okay, I want to take a step back on the marketing that publishers promise you.
Sure.
When an author works with, let's say they do get a publisher, whether it be a hybrid or a traditional publisher, and they say, oh, we do marketing for you, you need to get it in writing exactly what that means, because oftentimes what that means is they send out one media release and an email to a portion of their list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about maybe a couple of tweets here and there. And an author might think it means a lot more than it really does. So you want to be really clear on what that marketing means. And it still helps for an author to learn about marketing so that they can really take control of what's going on and, if need be, hire a team of people that can help them. With my memoir, what we're doing, we actually have a very specific plan where I'm working with a hybrid publisher who will publish the first go-around of the memoir. The goal is to sell between 5 and 10,000 copies of the book and then work with a traditional publisher who has the distribution channels. Now, there may be something that happens in between because I am hiring this publicist. Something might happen in between where I might be able to bypass the hybrid and go directly to a traditional publisher, but I also know what to ask for in them partnering with me on the marketing. And the thing that an author wants to look at also is, what do you bring to the party as far as your platform? How well known are you within your community? Do you have a community? Do you have a critical mass within that community? Do you have a good social media position? Do you know how to interview? Do you know how to get on the platform and speak? Because all of that is what appeals to a publisher. They're not just looking for a well-written book. There's plenty of well-written books out there. They want somebody that can actually take the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you bring up a lot of good points. And one of the things that I've learned, I don't care what kind of publisher you get, hybrid, self, traditional, the marketing is always primarily on your shoulders in one way, shape, or form. You have to get out there and you have to promote. Now, then it goes back to a second thing is, and I see this a lot working in the social media worlds, a lot of people say, I don't want to be Brian Basilico. I want to be the Bacon Podcast or B2B Interactive Marketing. That'd be like Kathleen Gage saying, I don't want to be Kathleen Gage. I want to be Power Up for Profits. And the thing is that people don't buy from a company when it comes to a book. They're buying the person. They're buying the expertise. It's the same thing with coaching and all these other services. So you need to learn how to A, market yourself first and then market your book as a sub chapter of what it is that you're doing. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that, that goes across the whole gamut of any kind of business. There was a discussion recently on Facebook about restaurants that wouldn't give a customer the table they wanted. And, you know, people were having this whole discussion. Well, you know, I choose where to go and spend my money. And for me, I spend quite a bit on supplements. And I have one particular supplement store that I love going to. One, because they know my name when I walk in. They take the time to educate me on new products that they have that they know I'm going to like, and they never rush me. And so I feel like a valued customer. I could care less what the name of the store is. What I care about is when I go in, there's a connection with the people there. And that's really what people want with you as an author. They want the connection with the author. It's like, I don't want to go to a presentation, let's say by Lisa Nichols, just because of her book. I want to go because of Lisa Nichols. She's what's attracting me to her event. So it's really about, yes, they want to interact and engage with the author themselves. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. So let's ask one more question about book writing specifically, and that is, what do you think, and you've seen a lot of people because you've worked with a lot of people writing books in business and in spirituality. What is the one thing that stops people from actually finishing a book? Because there's a lot of people out there with outlines, with chapter one, with an introduction. What stops them from getting to the end?
You know, it's hard to give you just one answer, but I would say the first thing is they romance the idea of being an author without realizing how much work it takes. It's a discipline. And a lot of times people say, oh, I have to be inspired. It's like, I'm inspired to pay my mortgage. You know, that quite seriously, I'm inspired to feed my animals, and my writing allows me to do that. So I think that being really truthful about what it takes to be a writer is a big part of it, and quit romancing the idea of like you're going to end up on Oprah, because most authors won't. However, you can influence a segment of the population. Another thing is that they get frightened. It's like, oh my gosh, this is becoming a reality. And once it becomes a reality, the real work begins. You know, the writing the book is the easy part. The marketing is the hard part, and keeping at it. And I think that they don't have a system in place for having a discipline in work and treating their writing. For most people I work with, it's all about their writing as a part of their business. So treating their writing as a part of their business, and like any other aspect of their business, you have to show up. And when I wrote my memoir, when I finally decided after 10 years of talking about it to sit down and write it, I made a commitment that within 60 days I would write 60,000 words. And within 60 days I wrote 62,000 words. That was something that every day without fail, I sat down and I wrote 1,000 words. Without fail. And it first started out, I was doing 500, and I thought, well, my math there wasn't too good. If I could only do 500 words, I'm going to do 30,000. So really, it's about your accountability to yourself, about realizing this is a part of your business, and quit romancing the idea of what it means to be an author. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot of perks in being an author. Quite seriously, there's a lot of benefit, but you have to put in the time before you get the benefit.
Right. And one final statement I want to make is, you know, I've written a handful of books, and one of the things is I still do project work for clients. You know, I'm still doing whatever it is, you know, whether it's coaching or helping them with their marketing strategy and stuff like that. And it is the best 200 to 300 page business card I have ever had, because when you bring that in, it immediately sets you apart from all the other companies that are coming in doing dogging pony shows, and you walk in with a golden ticket.
Absolutely. I have a client who's in the real estate industry, and we've been working on a book for her that addresses the top 10 questions that buyers have and sellers have. And I said, that's a book you're going to give away. It's not going to be the next great American novel. It's going to be a marketing tool that you will set yourself apart from every other realtor in the Portland market by having this book. I have another client who is in network marketing, and she wrote a book all about health and nutrition without a big emphasis on the product that she sells. And that book has opened more doors for her. And she's a little rock star. She truly is a little rock star. I mean, this woman has more energy than people half her age. And what really surprised me is she's so passionate about the content of her book that she's done several book signings, she's done workshops, she's gone and done speaking engagements. Her close rate is about 80% of the room. When she speaks, about 80% of the people are going to buy her book. And I'm like, oh my Lord, who would have thought?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. A book is a great business card. And, you know, there's been, since the beginning of writing books, there's been the controversy of, you know, is it a business card on steroids or is it not? And personally, who cares? I mean,
right.
If it gets you business, who cares? I don't care what you call it, you know, but, you know, if it's going to get me speaking engagements, if it's going to get me consulting contracts, I'm all for it.
I'm with you there. Trust me. So Kathleen, as usual, awesome, awesome stuff. I love talking to you because you have so much experience. You really understand a lot of the different angles in business, in coaching, and in writing because you've done so well at it. But I know you've got something else that's going to help my audience get their arms around this a little bit more. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I have a report that it's about a 40 to 45 page report called Hit Number One on Amazon. And in there, I've given you the step-by-step strategies of what you need to do to prepare your Amazon page. And I have a whole series of marketing strategies that once you have your Amazon page set up and your book description and your categories, how do you drive traffic to your Amazon page to get people to buy your book or download it if you're doing the KDP Select. It's very, very specific strategy. So it's called Hit One on Amazon, and you have the link in the show notes. So I would encourage people, you know, do yourself a favor, download it. It's great information.
Outstanding. Well, I definitely will. Well, I don't know if when you're training for marathons, if you eat any bacon at all, you know, to carb up. But
I don't.
I know. But I know you brought a lot of great bacon, that special Oregon bacon.
Oregon bacon, yes.
Yeah, you bring a lot of Oregon bacon to the show, and it's a unique kind of flavor, and people, you got to try it. But anyways, Kathleen, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, and I love it, and I can't wait to get you back on the show again after your memoir is live and out there.
I definitely want to be on the show. Yeah, you'll get a copy of the memoir in the galley before it comes out, and you can decide, do I really want her on my show?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me just encourage you one last time. Go back to episode number 35 and listen to a little bit of Kathleen's story. So again, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And thank you so much for being on the Bacon Podcast with me.
My absolute pleasure, Brian. And if you think I love you, you're right.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.